I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Trash Opinions. This is Trash. Last time we did All-Stars, and this time we are doing Vanuatu. Should be a lot of fun. I sure do love this season. Super duper underrated season. It's one of my favorites of the old school era, and I just absolutely adore it. Now, I wouldn't call it my favorite season since the first 5 episodes are pretty terrible, but once it gets rolling, it gets rolling. It's amazing, but let's just get right into it.
You know, the first couple days, the one thing you gotta worry about is you never know if those guys are smart enough, which I hope they didn't.
Personally, I think there's a lot of young guys on the team, guys who are gonna be targets. I feel like I am one of the stronger, younger guys who's gonna be a target.
Brooke Garrity. For once, we have an extremely forgettable first boot. Simply being booed for being the supposed leader of the young guys, he had zero time to establish anything memorable about him. He could have been alright if he lasted longer, but he didn't, and he wasn't. He's going into meh.
Dolly, how are you getting along with everybody?
I think I'm getting along almost too well with everyone, and it's kind of becoming a problem for me because I feel kind of like Dolly in the middle. 4 people want to vote one way, and 4 people want to vote another way, and I'm kind of the deciding factor tonight.
Second person voted out a survivor, Vanuatu. Dolly
Neely. Ah, Sarah Lacining herself out of the game years before Cagayan. What a trailblazer. But that's literally the only notable thing about her. She's a nothing character. Meh.
There were a bunch of tribesmen running with spears. My first reaction was, you know, what's going on? We were like, what are we supposed to defend ourselves? What are we supposed to do?
John J.P. Palayok. JP reminds me of Jim Brewer meets Mac from It's Always Sunny. I've never seen a guy be so intense but so stoner at the same time. I must admit, though, his attempt to slip into the Fat Five Alliance, noticing the cracks in their relationship with Rory, was commendable from a gameplay standpoint, but it amounted to nothing, and he lands in meh.
He's got the frame, but he ain't got the brain.
Philo, we've done a ton of work. Let me tell you right
now. I'm
not
saying you didn't.
You start a fire in the morning, we could easily start that fire in the morning if you were not here. You played it up last night, and it's bull. It's the card that you're playing, and it's going to backfire.
Mia Galeotalanza. Mia having an argument with Twyla over work ethic is the only thing she did all season. I'm not gonna call her the most forgettable person on the cast since the entirety of the younger men have the personality of a wet dish rag, but out of the women, absolutely. She's going in meh.
And I just hung on for dear life.
Brady Finta. I have never seen somebody vote for the same person every single tribal they were at. That first tribal was baffling. What information was he getting? The hate boner Brady had for Rory was pretty hilarious, but other than that piece of metadata, Brady sucks and is probably the most forgettable person in a group of very forgettable people. The entire time I just kept forgetting he was there. He's meh.
Curious. Think about the merge.
Travis Bubba Sampson. First off, I love his Bob Barker shirt. It's weird considering Bubba my favorite pre-merge character since he was pretty much a nothing character, but I feel like he was sweet and endearing enough to root for, and I did my first time around. His content of talking about his kids and his family is really cute. It's also just insane how he straight up tells JP he's a threat and that they're gonna boot him off on day 6.
You're too big of a threat.
Okay.
I like you. I think
to the group or a threat to you.
When this thing goes, it's your personality, your great looks. That's a threat. When I make my decision, I've got 4 children and I own a wife. And that's what I base my decisions on. You are so freaking dangerous, man.
Also, weirdly enough, think of the merge as one of the most iconic quotes of the season. Maybe there's an alternate universe where he's the merge boot instead of Rory. I guess mildly entertaining.
have to go, just the two ways we're going and what you're doing in case, you know.
Hey, y'all go
oh,
on
in case what?
Y'all go on, I'll get.
Yeah. Lisa said, so she wanted to know where the maniac was just in case I wasn't around. And I just found that quite interesting. Kind of like a, oops, did that really just come out your mouth?
She just said to me,
that's not what I said. Uh-huh. I said, just in case, somebody needs to go get it.
Right. I think Lisa's so sneaky. I don't trust her.
Which
about
one?
What?
About, oh, I want to go because just in case you're not around. Like,
oh, honey, I swear to you. Wait a minute, Amy.
Hey, Amy.
Amy, I'll give you my honest
feeling really.
Wait,
tough.
Really? I mean, my
I'm being honest.
To be...
Lisa Kiefer. God, I love how petty the women's tribe is. Lisa was doing just fine until making an offhand, just-in-case comment to Amy, who was already paranoid enough by that point. If Lisa hadn't done that tiny little slip-up, maybe Amy wouldn't have sunk her game the way she did. Turning on Lisa instead of the obvious Rory boot wasn't a good look to the rest of the women on the other tribe, as better as it was for TV for Rory to survive. Regardless, despite the fun downfall, Lisa's super meh.
Eliza just didn't stop talking. She just kept talking and talking and talking. I mean, she seems really sweet. I'm sure she's really nice. But the bottom line is, oh my God, would you please stop talking?
John Kenny. I hate calling him John K because the John K I'm familiar with just makes me sad and disgusted to think about. So I'm just going to call him John. Plus, it's best not to share a nickname with him. Anyway, I kinda like John. The rest of the men in his alliance were super forgettable and they all might have been the same person, but John stuck out to me as just being okay. I actually felt bad for him at the time of his boot because I do not think he would have flipped to the women and come to merge. I think he was genuine in wanting to work with Chris. You'd think all that would be enough to take him out of meh, but it's not. He's still going in meh.
They're jabbing spears at absolutely everybody except me. Nobody jabbed a spear at me in any way, shape, or form, which I took as, you know, a black man coming on the island is not particularly unwelcome.
Rory Freeman. He's a grown-ass man.
I'm a grown-ass man, and I don't take orders real well.
Rory is absolutely hilarious every time he opens up his mouth. Him freaking out about the women celebrating after a challenge win is such gold considering he's the first to celebrate anytime the men won a challenge.
No, I don't think that we would have done the same thing. I don't think that we would have intentionally shoved somebody's nose into it. You know, that was nonsense. That was classless.
The man does not stop talking shit. It's fantastic. His scorched earth approach to the game is something we just don't see anymore in Survivor, and I really wish he had burned down the camp like he said he was going to. That would have been amazing television. He's just so quotable. In a perfect world, he would have lasted longer as a goat being dragged, but alas, he's gone from us way too soon. Rory never returning is a goddamn travesty. He was a hidden gem on the season, and I wish Rory got more love. Rory's the best. He's going in love.
I'm comfortable with it because I've been in Europe.
Sarge! What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I just glanced over there. Sarge has his ass hanging out. Probably is an image that will never leave my memory.
Julie is a bad influence!
Leave Sarge Masters. I like Sarge. I usually don't like Captain America type guys, but Sarge just seems like a cool dad you drink a beer with and talk sports with at a barbecue. He's been to Europe. His friendship with Julie is also hilarious. Them sunbathing on the beach with their asses out is one of my favorite scenes on the season, mostly for Chris's reaction. Sarge is just a really likable presence on an absolutely boring men's tribe. Sarge is kind of underrated. I think he's pretty great. I wish we had more time with his pig friend, though.
I don't know how much I want to eat you. If I can't link myself to the Estrogen City, at least I can link myself to a pig.
He's going in entertaining.
It's a rare form of cancer called synovial sarcoma, and I just had a little, you know, bump in the bottom of my throat. I thought it was nothing. I thought it was a cyst. I lost it about 20 months ago.
Dude, it's inspirational that you're here.
That's
awesome.
I know. Good on you, mate.
Chad Crittenden. Ah, Chad, the first amputee castaway. Inspirational, yes. But is he a good character? No. He does absolutely nothing after the premiere. Most of his content is rather uninteresting strategical talks with Chris. I do love how hard the comma hits him, though. I miss the era of people on Survivor getting wasted. Bring back liquor and drugs to Survivor. Bring back liquor and drugs to Survivor. Email CBS with it. However, he's still going in, meh.
I think both of you got a leg up on me. I think both.
Dude, I didn't mean to say.
No, I
did. Dude, I totally did.
Listen, no. I think there's so many puns, dude.
Oh my
there's a million.
God, I didn't just say that.
Leanne Slaby. People like Leanne for some reason. I don't. I think she's boring as hell and everything people like about her is based on shit they made up in their own heads. The only thing I liked about her is her saying me too to Julie's maybe I'm just drunk.
I do love these people. Me too. Maybe I'm just drunk. Me too.
Yes, there's that one great scene, but ultimately she lands in meh.
It's like Scout put a pile of cayenne pepper in my pants and said, hey, let's dance. Well, I'm ready to dance.
Amy Cusack. Amy Cusack is a really good example of an amazing strategical player on these early seasons of Survivor. It's no wonder she was brought back for Micronesia. She's the queen bee of the season. Even when she's going off the bench to do her final tribal council question, they hold her hand and clear the way as if she's royalty. How petty she is about Lisa having a pretty basic social slip-up is absolutely hilarious to watch. She kind of has a John Carroll downfall too, where she turns on her own alliance way too soon, not realizing how that may look to the rest of her alliance on the other tribe post-swap. It's also cool how she was the first open-and-out lesbian on Survivor. Yeah, technically Sonia Christopher was the first, but she wasn't out at the time. She's not the most captivating character out there, especially when you compare to how amazing the characters who go out after her are, but she easily could have won had she kept the rest of the women's alliance from flipping on her and Leanne. She gets a really good edit outside of how hilariously petty she is, and she gets a lot of content, and one could think she would be the winner from an edgic standpoint. Very rootable character, understandably a fan favorite. I really like her. Her jury reactions are also great. She's also absolutely gorgeous. Go and get entertaining.
I like flirting. I like to flirt all day long. It just comes naturally. It's just like with me. I don't know. I've just, it's how I connect with people. I don't know. It's just a natural thing.
It's my butt, though. Whatever.
Today, Julie was sunbathing in her buttocks region. I mean, I didn't want to look at it too much, but it looked pretty good. I mean, I took a quick peek, but I wasn't going to stare at it, but it looked real good. I mean, if you got it, sunbathe it.
Julie Berry. I kind of love Julie. She gets credit for being the Parvati 1.0, and you can easily see why. Her flirty but under-the-radar strategy is one that's been a true game-changer for seasons to come. She is a very fun character as soon as she's around some of the men. She's basically invisible pre-swap, but once the season gets rolling around episode 5, Julie is just a delight. She's also an incredible player. You can see how good she is at staying out of the constant drama amongst the women. In every explosive scene involving Twyla or Eliza or Amy or Mia, you can just see Julie in the background keeping her damn mouth shut. It's kind of hilarious, especially during the Twyla and Amy argument and Twyla mentions Julie's name and you can just see her face react to it like, no, don't bring my name up, I'm not here. The main flaw on her game, though, is I have no idea who takes her to the final two. She would have had to win out from the final five, and if she gets there, she has tons of win equity, though. She integrates back within the women after the merge so fast, and it's like she's never left, and watching the men basically think, shit, we should have voted out Julie instead of John Kay, is hilarious. I also appreciate how vulnerable she is at her final tribal council speech to Chris.
You were the one person who I gave the opportunity to hurt my feelings. Surprise.
Julie is likable and memorable enough to land her in entertaining.
She goes, Dolly, look me in the eye and tell me you're not writing my name down. She's like, I don't know. I don't want to vote with either side. I'm just going to vote for someone random. And I go, oh, she's voting against me. And then it was
it was a few hours
before tribal council.
That's all I need to know.
It was a few hours before tribal council. And Dolly goes, she went up there and she goes, there's no way that we lost the immunity challenge. If you'd have looked at me, I was crying. I was so sad. Like, we all get along so well. Like, really, it's been amazing.
Eliza Orleans. I love Eliza's manic energy. I also love how she's played two seasons and the only ally she's ever had was a guy who gave her a fake idol. She just never shuts up and it's so funny to watch her just talk over people. when she tells her mom, oh, they don't like me because I talk too much. I love how her mom's basically like, yeah, I can see that. Eliza is what I like to call a fun bitch, where I most likely would not enjoy her company in real life, but put her on a TV show where she's annoying other people, and I love it. I'm all about it.
You were a deceptive, lying bitch throughout this game. You never treated me with an ounce of respect. You didn't even speak to me like I deserved your breath. I might envy your position in the final two, but I do not envy your life. Chris, you on the other hand, you shocked me. You shocked me. Whereas I knew Twyla was going to be a deceptive lying bitch, I did not know that you were a deceptive lying bitch too.
A good number of fans I've talked to really don't like Eliza for those reasons, but I personally think she's a fantastic character. She manages to stick out on a post-merge full of very good characters. Her manic Kathy Griffin energy carries any scene that she is in, and she just keeps getting better as the season progresses. Chaotic Queen. She was pretty much the secondary option in most of the votes too, so it's not like she didn't have reasons to be paranoid, but it's just funny because she just reminds me of a squirrel. You can see it in her mom. She's just listing things she was worried about with Eliza the whole time, including flossing, which is hilarious. I'm not sure if Eliza's a good player, but she did a good job of maneuvering through to the finale. I'm not sure how she ever gets to the end, but Eliza's ability to skate by despite annoying almost everyone is so entertaining.
Why would it be a big deal to vote Twyla off instead of me? I don't know. Just from your perspective, your position. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it would.
And it makes me adore Eliza, landing right in love.
See if we can wrestle up Annie.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're so sweet. Yeah, so good. You look great. Have fun.
Scout Cloud Lee. Scout is so freaking adorable. Lesbian grandma queen. It's the cutest loved one challenge moment ever, bar none. Her letters from home segment is one of the only ones to actually get a tear to shed from me.
My letters from Annie, my partner, it's just full of Annie. She's such an amazing and beautiful human being.
Is that a young scout?
It's Annie.
Just a beautiful picture.
It's just really hard to think of what she's had to go through, being a gay from the older generation. I couldn't even imagine. I have nothing but love for the past generation of LGBTQ people. They went through so much, and you can just see in her eyes how much she loves her partner. I usually don't get super emotionally attached or parasocial about my Survivor players, but my heart is with Scout 100%. I absolutely adore Scout. She's one of the best social players of the entire season too, and I don't think she gets as much credit for how good of a social game she really plays. If she gets to the end, even against Chris, I feel like she might win it all. Eliza and Julie's votes are up in the air, but Chris might snag both of them in that situation. But they still could go to Scout. Scout was just badass. She was like a hippie gangster grandma. Vengeance is mine, says the jury. Scout, being only my third favorite character on this season, goes to show how incredible this merge cast is. Scout Cloud Lee is going into love.
Well, the only thing, and I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I'm listening. Big ears. What?
Well, that's the thing right there. You and Leanne and Julie thought you all were so freaking high and mighty.
High and mighty? Everybody. You know what?
Well, I feel confident. I totally got a little confident.
You said it. You dang
totally,
right.
Totally, because I knew
you
I had people
right.
I could trust.
Twyla Tanner. Twyla is fantastic TV, and it's a blessing she was on one of the only seasons where she's not one of the first three boots. Older woman with an abrasive personality, yeah, that's a recipe for a first boot. But she makes it to the end, and thank fuck for it, because she is gold the entire time. Also, she's weirdly adorable.
Somebody else type for me? I don't know how to type.
You don't?
No.
So you don't use computers much?
No.
No. You get a... It's a darn good thing that we have a camera so you can hear and see your loved ones.
Her coming out of her reserved tomboy shell is such a pleasure to watch, and it audibly made me go, doll. Specifically when she was talking about being open to have her hair French braided. Her and Amy hugging after Dahl leaves is so sweet and cute. You can see under her rough and hardened exterior that she's really a sweet and true person. She's also as raw and honest as your Sue Hawks, and it's nice seeing an impoverished person who actually needs the money playing the game. Honestly, you start to notice how classist people are towards her, especially Eliza. Her social game is bad, yeah, but the way she gets to the end by turning on the Women's Alliance that was just most likely going to boot her at 5 anyway is such a fascinating watch. It makes you almost wish she won. Twyla is great when she's angry, great when she's happy, just great all around. It's rare that you see someone as raw, honest, and genuine as Twyla on a show like this. Underrated by all accounts. It's a shame she absolutely bombs her Final Tribal Council performance, but I will leave you with her absolutely incredible Final Tribal Council speech.
I didn't come into this game intentionally wanting to deceive or to lie to anyone. I don't do that back home, and anybody that knows me knows my word is good. Whether you believe that or not, it is good. All I thought about since I've been here is bettering my life. That's all I thought about, and how I can do it. I didn't worry about your feelings. I didn't worry about your feelings. None of you. That was selfish and self-centered to me. People kill for less than what we're playing for right now. Maybe that sounds hard or cold. And it actually turned me into somebody I don't like. Sarge, you don't have to rub it in. You don't have to make me feel any lower than what I already feel for doing what I did. You don't understand how that's bothered me. I highly respect you, and to hear you say that just kills me. I apologize to each and every one of you. It wasn't the game I intended to play. It was the game that ended up playing me. And if I could do right again, I would. And for that, I apologize. And if you can forgive me, then maybe I can forgive myself. That's all.
Absolutely, 100% going into favor.
Men against women. Perfect. I can outsmart 8 men a hell of a lot quicker than I can outsmart 8 women. Women stick together. They're thick as thieves. Men are deceiving, mischievous, untrusting human beings. Men I can manipulate.
Chris Daugherty. It's crazy that Chris was almost the first boot. From the start, when he talks about being able to outsmart 8 men a lot easier than he can outsmart 8 women, you know you're in for a treat for an entertaining character. Chris is honestly one of my favorite winners of all time. He has such a charismatic presence to him. His confessionals are usually fantastic, and he has one of the best Final Tribal Council performances of all time. Let's talk a bit about his Final Tribal Council performance. It gets talked about a lot for a good reason. His ability to bullshit the entire jury, sans scout obviously, is nothing short of masterful. I've never seen a guy flat out lie to people so bold-faced but so convincingly that they are literally brought to tears because he's just saying everything they want to hear. It's absolutely fascinating to watch, and Scout calling him out on it at the end is just hilarious because she's absolutely right, but it doesn't change the outcome of Chris tugging those votes out of those jury heartstrings.
When I made that pact with you standing there, I didn't intend to do you wrong. I did it as strategy, and you're right. I owe you an apology. I broke our pact, and I am sorry.
Thank you.
Because at the time, I had no intentions of writing your name down. At the time, my intentions were for me and you to stick together. You looked out for me, you know, and I felt like it was my turn to look out for you.
It was.
Well, I lied to you, Julie, and I mean, I can't take it back. I didn't play you, Julie. I lied to you. And I let my heart get in the way. And at the end, I didn't even know if I was gonna write your name down. And I decided at the booth, I played the game. I did you wrong, Julie, and I'm sorry I lied to you. If you disregard anything to do with me, I understand. But I truly looked at you as a little sister, and...
That's enough.
I think that you're on the jury because you have a soft heart. I think you're on the jury because I didn't give you a break. You give me a break. You let your guard down. You put personal feelings in front of the game. And it, you know, it was your demise.
Thank you.
You are a bull up to your ears. I'm not sure where that takes you, except it sits you right where you are.
Just tugging away at those jury votes. His emotional manipulation of everyone at the Loved Ones Challenge is an absolute treat. It was making me go, yes, make them feel bad for your fiancé. Brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant and such an underrated move. It's amazing how soon after that he goes from dead man walking to literally running the game, too. I love seeing how eventual winners deal with being on the bottom, and it's comparable to how Danny Boatwright turned the tables on the Dominant Alliance 2 seasons later, except I would argue Chris is more active in that, while Rafe just chose to lose. He's how to play from the bottom 101 incarnate, and I would have loved to see how he would perform on a return. From what I hear, he's kind of hard to get a hold of, though. I just loved his story, loved watching him topple a 6-1 deficit to take home the gold, a true underdog story for the ages. I love the shrug he gives Eliza when she stares daggers at him over her exit, and he's telling Twyla, oh yeah, you should totally let the jury know you don't give a crap, foreshadowing how she loses, and bringing Julie's hat just to seal her vote, oh my god, brilliant. Such a great winner. I love Chris. He's going into favorite. Anuwatu was even better than I remember. It's a shame it's not viewed as a top-tier old-school season, because it really is. The boot order is almost perfect. If Rory lasted longer, it would be. And the merge is one of the best. It's going right under Pearl Islands in my rankings. Amazing season. I love it so much. Please watch it. Just watch it. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for watching. You are awesome. And the next video I am coming out with is Palau, a season a lot of people love, but I just can't get myself to be super hype about it. I just think it's kind of okay. I don't like the whole one tribe being completely decimated angle of it. I think it's just kind of mean. And the whole two people getting voted out before the game even begins thing, I don't like that either. But it's a really interesting season. There's a lot of interesting characters on it, and like it's still worth watching. I don't know. This is Trash Opinions. Signing out. Bye.
They're gone. They're away.
Oh, are you wasted? Get over
yes,
here.
Yes, we're wasted. Well, we smuggled only you ladies back.
Oh, God.
We got
chicken wings for you. We got bones for them. We have two chicken wings for each of you.
Oh, my God.
Quick, give them their chicken wings.
Julie lifts up her pants, and she had tied a bag of leftover chicken wings to her leg.
Oh, my God.
Here you go.
Run. Not a word. Not a word. Run.
Oh, my God.
I feel like such a bad kid.
I know.
Man. You brought back chicken bones?
Oh, my God.
They look at real meat.
I seen my bone.
Look.
I seen my bone. Look at that meat on that bone.
Uh-huh. I was real pleased that they brought back some bones of hot wings.